week number four in a five sermon series on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, this sort of neglected holiday, certainly the neglected attitude, the neglected expression, Thanksgiving. We started out looking at these very, very closely related words, grace, which means that God has drawn near to us. And then rejoice, which means that we delight, we're overwhelmed that God has drawn near to us. And thanksgiving, they all have the same root word passing through them. Thanksgiving, meaning that we acknowledge and we confess and we praise because we're grateful that God has drawn near to us. And we see this exemplified in the Old Testament. Thanksgiving was actually written into the law. It was law. But in the New Testament, thanksgiving is life. Then we talked about this fact that Romans chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 4 show us, they demonstrate this downward progression of sin. The downward progression from mind to heart to hand. Of sin, and you put the two of them together, and it's amazing to see how well they fit. Romans 1 teaches us that this progression begins with a lack of reverence or honor and a lack of thanksgiving. So the first things that Paul says, a lack of acknowledging who God is and a lack of gratitude for what God has done. That's where this progression starts. And Ephesians chapter 4 teaches us that this progression ends with an expression of everything that is opposite of thanksgiving. Think about that. It's very clear to conclude from those two passages that thanksgiving, a thankful mind, a thankful heart, a thankful expression is a filling agent, and a preventing agent. Preventing sin. Last week we looked at three passages that correlate prayer and thanksgiving, thankful prayer. These three passages, I don't know about you, but they profoundly challenge me. They challenge us. And I left you with the summary of those three passages. Are you making an intense, persistent effort to continually, in all things, at all times, without ceasing, tell the Lord what is on your mind and in your heart from a calm, not fearful, restful, not desperate disposition, desiring to know and submit to what is on His mind and what is in His heart. Expecting Him to show you before your very eyes, in your very midst, what is on His mind and in His heart, all based on the understanding that you are overwhelmed, you are overjoyed, and you are thrilled, and you are reveling in the fact that God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens, the universe, the giver and taker of life, that God Almighty has drawn near to you. That's where we left off last week. Let's pick up where we left off with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. There'll be some passages that we put up on the screen later that we'll read together, but just listen to some of these where we left off. Ephesians 4, 6 says this, be anxious for everything. No, right? What does it say? Be anxious for nothing. But in prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I just want to clarify that be anxious means do not remain anxious. Do not stay in an anxious state of mind. Anxiety or fear, these are emotions. These are emotions that just come out. They happen. It's a culmination of your life's experience. Circumstance confronts you. And you're anxious or you're fearful. Don't stay there. Prayer, supplication, request, be made known to Christ. 1 Thessalonians, which was another passage we looked at last week, chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Rejoice always. Pray without. In what give thanks? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Where? In Christ Jesus. Man. I truly believe that we do not acknowledge or show gratitude for the many blessings in our life. I think we take most of them for granted. If we show or acknowledge or demonstrate gratitude, I'm sure, I know that it is not to the degree to which it should be. It doesn't equate to the blessing. It's been a difficult year, a tenuous year for my parents. From my grandmother's heart attack, to her hospitalization, to home care, to hospice, to passing away, to difficult relationships with the family during all of that time, to settling the estate, to repairing the apartment in which they lived, or were moving into, repairing the apartment they lived in, dealing with very, very difficult tenants, Philemon and Janelle, you know them. Yes, exactly. I was sitting with my father Friday morning having coffee. And he says to me, God has been so kind to us. God has been so kind. They see God's provision. They see God's blessing. They see his kindness. And in my mom and dad, given their state now, they are very thankful. And I'm not going to speak to their year, their past year, but I'll speak to my past year with them going through this. I was not thankful for her heart attack. I was not thankful for her hospitalization. I was not thankful for her hospice. I was not thankful for her for the family conflict. Woohoo, joy, family. Get ready. It's coming. Thanksgiving, right? Family. I was not thankful for remodeling. I was not thankful for moving. I was not thankful for remodeling again. I was thankful when her suffering was over. That moment, December 12th, I was so thankful. I am very thankful for good tenants, kind believers, respectful believers. I'm thankful for Philemon and Janelle, but I can tell you that I was not thankful in everything. I don't think that most of you, if you were watching closely, as we went through the everything and always moments of the last year, would have said, wow, Brian is just so thankful. Right? Not only do I think that our expression of thanksgiving does not measure up to the quality of our blessings, if we're not thankful enough in the good times, I know for a fact that we are not thankful in the bad times. We are not thankful in the everything and always moments. I look back over that past year, and I know that God moved. I saw God's hand in all of those circumstances, in all of them, from the moment a phone call came through about her, the ability to get to the hospital, the rehab, the hospice, the nurses were great. I saw his hand all the way through that last year. I think most of us come through difficult times, and we see that God was there. We see that God was near. We come through it, and we reflect, and well, God is good, you know. Thankful in everything and always is not about reflecting as much as it is about expecting. Thankful is not simply about post-circumstance mindset, looking back. Thankfulness is about pre-circumstance mindset, looking forward, expecting God, knowing that God is good, knowing God loves us, knowing He is not set out to destroy us or set out to crush us, knowing that God intends to strengthen us, mature us, grow us. Verse is going to be put on the screen, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Read them with me, will you? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Be filled with the Spirit. How do you define your life today? Is it filled with the Spirit? Are you full of the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. I don't know. I think that concept of being filled with the Spirit has been so complicated. It's certainly been a point of contention within the church. I think it's overthought. I find that the most confusing, most complex situations, there's usually a simple answer. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Let's just deal with the simplicity. Seems to me as though the Holy Spirit is not unaware. Seems to me as though the Holy Spirit is not ignorant. Seems to me as though the Holy Spirit is not uninterested. We are the ones who resist. We are the ones who quench. We are the ones who do not submit. Seems to me as though He wants to fill and will if we let Him, if we allow Him. Seems to me that we are as filled with the Holy Spirit as we are emptied of ourself. The Spirit-filled life, to me, in my opinion, looks like a humbled life, if not a broken life. The Spirit-filled life looks like a submissive life, if not a sacrificial, giving life. Spirit-filled life looks like our decrease and His increase. The Spirit-filled life looks like our weakening and His strengthening. The Spirit-filled life looks like being emptied of ourselves and being filled with the Spirit. And then Paul, he says, you know, be filled with the Spirit. And then he teaches this public and then private worship, this public and private praise, this public and private thanksgiving. Now, the way in which he phrases, speak to one another with hymns and songs, makes me feel awkward. I don't know about you. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hand if you're a morning person. Okay. Please don't take offense at what I'm about to say. I am not a morning person. I'm a night person. Okay. Morning people irritate me to death. I have a morning person in my house. Crack of dawn, boop, I'm awake, I'm great, life is good, let's go. And I'm like, you know, get out of here. That sound, that's the connotation I get from the verse. People, you know, when I was at Moody, how many of you are in the music programs at Moody? I don't see anyone raising their hand. Forgive me for what I'm about to say. But I wanted to slap all the people at Moody who walked around singing all the time, walking across the plaza, praise God from whom, and I was, what? You know, was, and they were where you would eat, you know, they're singing, they're walking through the halls, and it was echoing throughout the halls, walking past my dorm room, did not last long. You tiptoed past my dorm room so joyfully. So if you'll, just to let me acknowledge the awkward feelings, do you want, I don't want you singing at me. I'll admit it. Do you want me singing at you? I will sing at you, brother. Let me get past that awkward feeling in regards to singing to one another with songs. I completely and totally 100% understand the command. The purpose of the command is to encourage one another and to be encouraged. Encourage one another and be encouraged. And I know that this praise only comes from a mind and a heart that is fixed on Jesus Christ, not a mind and a heart that is fixed on circumstances. That's where it comes from. What comes from a mind and a heart fixed on circumstances? Complaint, despair, or discouragement. So encourage one another because you have lifted your eyes up. Be encouraged because you have lifted your eyes up. You have fixed them on Christ. Music is so utterly powerful. How many of you will agree with that? Music is strong. Music is powerful, powerful. Let me go on a tangent here. Let me go on a tangent. What are you listening to? What in the world, and I mean in the world, are you listening to? What messages are you giving credence to? What messengers are you supporting, making rich? What philosophies are weeding their way into your mind? I do try very hard not to listen to things that I can't imagine my children listening to. I do try very hard not to listen to music that I cannot imagine Jesus Christ singing along with. I do. I'm serious about that. Some years ago on a Wednesday night, I listed out all the CDs that I had in on my shelf, like from back in the 60s, 70s, a couple in the 80s, but all these CDs. And I heard people say, yeah, it was great. Oh, you know what song? And I said, I threw them all out. I had to throw them out. Can music put you in a mood? For real. Like right now. So that's a tangent point. That's a tangent point. Music is very, very, very powerful. Be very, very careful what you are listening to. But Paul is commending us. He's commanding us to encourage each other. And to be encouraged ourselves in our own heart. And then with our own voice, with praise to the Lord. And he has this phrase, always, which is time-oriented. Always, that is a time-oriented thing, is it not? Always giving thanks for all things. Now, all things is circumstance-oriented. Always giving thanks for all things. Sing to the Lord. Give thanks no matter what, no matter when. How hard does that seem to be? Without a doubt, please don't get me wrong here, without a shadow of a doubt, our motivation is to be pure, 100% pure. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you and I, we need encouragement. We need encouragement. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, deserves our praise, deserves our gratitude, deserves our thanksgiving. Understanding this, understanding that that is our motivation, that is why I want you to consider what effect does encouraging someone, what effect does singing and testimony, what effect does worship and praise and thanksgiving have on you, the individual? It is difficult to keep our eyes, our minds, our hearts fixed on the circumstances when we are lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, when we are encouraging other people, when we are being encouraged, when we are taking a position of praise and thanksgiving for all things, all times. A lot of people will tell you, they'll hear that you're in this circumstance, and they will say, pray, you need to pray. Well, while it may sound sacrilegious for me to say this, I would not advise you to first pray. I would advise you to first praise. Before you hit your knees in desperation, praise. Praise God. Praise His name. Praise Him for what He has done. Praise Him for His promises. Praise Him for His nature. Praise Him for His love. Thank Him. Testify. Testify to one another. Testify to yourself. Another verse is going to be put on the screen. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 8. There it goes. Read this with me. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with... Really? Really? Listen to Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ. How much have we talked about this over the past 5 years? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, here we go again, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And again, we've got this public and this private encouragement, this external encouragement, this internal encouragement. Teaching and admonishing each other with songs and hymns and spiritual songs and singing in your heart with thankfulness to God. Thankfulness. This external and internal encouragement can only come from a mind and a heart fixed on Christ, not circumstance. This internal and external component is just obvious in what Paul is trying to instruct. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Be thankful. When? Be thankful. In? There will be peace among us, if there is peace within you. There will be peace collectively if there is peace individually. The measure of our peace is the measure of your peace. I find that word rule fascinating. Just came through baseball season. Chicago Cubs win World Series. finally another championship in Chicago to go along with the Sox. Better than 108. All right, peace. Peace. That word rule means to act like an umpire. They didn't necessarily have umpires in the New Testament. But it is someone who judges. They judge. To rule. To speak with authority. So think of that umpire. You know, ball! Strike! You're out! The guy, man, whoever was behind home plate for the World Series, what he was doing, I was like, what are you doing? Out, you know, safe, you know. But he's trying to make some theatrics out of it. Circumstances happen. Kaboom! There they are. And your heart is conflicted. Your heart is conflicted. Is it wrong or is it right? Circumstance. Is it fair or is it unfair? This is not fair. Is it good or is it bad? Is this one circumstance here, this thing that shook, is it a moment of blessing or is it a moment of devastation? I don't know, the older I get, no jokes. Are you realizing that the most amazing things happen in the most difficult times? The peace of Christ is to judge. The peace of Christ is to judge the emotions. Boom! Ah! Peace. Fair. Peace. Just. Peace. Good. Peace. Blessing. In the always. In the all things. The peace of Christ is to judge the seat of the will, the spirit, the seat of the will. The peace of Christ is to judge the desires that drive the soul. The peace of Christ rules. The peace of Christ is to judge the heart, not the other way around. Did you hear me clearly? Someone told me this morning, I don't necessarily need a mic. The peace of Christ is to judge the heart, not the other way around. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. That's cool. Not just dwell, but dwell how? Richly. Abundantly, with fullness, let it dwell and reside in you. These passages, they're not just a Sunday morning thing, a screen thing, open your Bible first thing in the morning, read a verse, point at a verse, and go throughout your day. These passages, Philippians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Colossians, the in all things, at all times, these things devoted, what it means to remain, to abide, the peace, shalom, irene, the word of Jesus Christ is to dwell in you constantly. It's to be overflowing from mind to heart. The more scripture that takes up residence in your mind, the more likely it will be that the peace of Christ will rule. Or will judge and subdue the heart. And please notice that it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen by osmosis. Sleep with my head on a Bible. It doesn't happen like this. Let the peace. Let the word. Let it. This is something you give into. This is something you submit to. I'll preach this from this pulpit from today to the day I walk out those doors for the last time. The Christian life is not about achievement. It is about submission. You will stand before the Lord and be judged not on what you achieved for Him, but on your submission to Him. My brothers and sisters, the first step in submission, some of you are writing this down, you should be. The first step in submission is thankfulness. The first step in submission is thankfulness. Always. The first step in submission is thankfulness. In all things. Because you are overwhelmed. And you are grateful. That He is drawn near to you. In all things. At all times. Another verse is going to be put up on the screen. It is 1 Peter 4 verses 12 and 13. Read it along with me. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the Yeah. Thank you. I lost it. There's a passage in Hebrews that tells us Christ identifies with us. He empathizes with us. In all of our sufferings, in all of our weaknesses, in all of our infirmities, He understands. He gets it. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a difficult time, I try to think of the life of Christ and see, like, okay, this is the emotion I am feeling right now. When did He feel that emotion? I don't know about you, but it gives me comfort. It gives me comfort to know that He gets it. I think that that is a quality, the ability to identify or empathize or be empathized with, identified with. I think that's a quality put in us by God. I think He placed that there. If He put that in us, what does that mean about Him? I think it touches His heart when we get Him. When we understand. Walk through it. If it touches our heart that He identifies with us, I think it touches His heart when we identify with Him. When we're lonely and we go, oh, you felt so lonely, didn't you? You felt so abandoned. You felt so isolated. When we're afraid and you jump right to that garden and you say, wow, overwhelmed. When you're betrayed by your friends, someone stabs you in the back. And you go, oh. Oh. When that relationship breaks and falls apart. When someone you love is suffering. I think it touches his heart. Do you hear Paul? Do you hear Peter? Wow, I share in the sufferings of Christ. Thankful. Thankful in all things at all times, really. A few years ago, when my kids were younger, my wife and I were in the living room one night. They're off playing in the house. All of a sudden, we hear all of this commotion, a flurry of commotion, you know, and then all of this intense emotion. The voices are raising and getting louder and louder, and then all of a sudden, Papa! Papa, come here! Come here, come here! Come here, come here! You know, and you know, like, what? And you get up and run across the house. And I find two of them. I'm not going to tell you who's who. But I find two of them standing in the corner clutching each other like this. And the other one is standing over here going, running in place like a cartoon, going nowhere. I don't see any blood. It's the first thing you check for. I don't see any limbs pointing in directions they shouldn't. Everybody is talking, so I know nobody's choking. They're all breathing. And all of a sudden, my attention is directed to the corner. What do I see? A spider. Granted, the black spider, you know, size of a nickel. Spider. And I took a deep breath. Me running across the house. Calm down. Getting my heart out of my throat, back into my chest. And I look at my children with one question on my mind. Where did I go so wrong? No. Just kidding. Come on now. What goes through my mind is, what is wrong with you guys? It's just a little bug. What's wrong with you? But before that thought comes out my mouth, I remember. I remember what it's like to be a little child. When I was a kid, we had those earwigs, those pinchers. Freaked us out, man. They were like everywhere. I remember what it was like. I remember what it was like to get carried away with my imagination. That thing catches you and pinches you, man. It doesn't come loose. The bug runs away, but the pinch is there. You got to go to the hospital, dude. This is the way we talked, you know. You got to go to the hospital, and you got to get snips and pull that thing out of you. It's a mess, you know. Your imagination, gone. Remember what it is like to have nightmares. It's not as though the spider was insignificant, was it? They're kind of creepy. I'll tell on my wife. She still calls me. Spiders are kind of creepy, and they do bite. I've got a spider scar. Joanna has a couple spider scars. They bite. But you understand. You get it. And so you reach over, you get a tissue, and you stoop down, and as I teach them, squish, crush, and twist. That's it. Kleenex, tissue, squish, crush, and twist. That's it. Let me ask you a question. How big was that spider in their mind's eyes? Tell me. It's like, oh, Papa! It's going to crawl out from under the bed at night and take them into a, wrap them up, you know. How big was that spider to me? Me, I'm like, what? Anyway. How big are your in all things, at all time moments to him? to you. How big are they to him?